Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Restoration Nazarene Church, where we encourage you to be the gospel today so that you can share the gospel tomorrow.
Welcome to Advent, the season of waiting for Christmas to come. I have a question. Does anybody in here enjoy waiting? Anybody enjoy waiting? Lee Joe had a very emphatic shake head no. I feel like, though, that the majority of our life is waiting. Waiting for coffee to brew in the morning. Waiting in the doctor's office. Waiting for the weekend to arrive or for the holidays to come. Waiting for babies to be born. And sometimes the waiting is easy. Sometimes it's easy to wait for these exciting things. But other times, it's not so easy to wait. Amy and I learned a few years ago that our oldest daughter, Emma, we have four kids, and our oldest daughter, Emma, she has a really hard time waiting. A few years ago, Emma was about first grade, and we told her that Uncle Casey and Aunt Ashley were coming to visit. They lived in California at this time. They were coming to visit later in the week, and at first, she was extremely excited about this. But then, as each day passed, it got worse and worse. And like if you shake a can of soda, it eventually explodes, and she exploded. And finally, one morning, she went, I can't take this anymore. Why did you tell me that they were coming? And so we have learned that we don't tell her things until it gets closer, because she explodes in this anticipation of waiting. Waiting is hard, especially for kids. And we are now in this season of Advent, this time leading up to Christmas. And this season of Advent is about waiting and preparing our hearts for Christmas. And it's in this season that we pause. And we remember that way back when, before Jesus was born, the entire Jewish nation, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. The Messiah had been promised to them. It was prophesied that he would come and save them. But the Jewish people, they had to wait. And while they were waiting, they were preparing their hearts for the coming of this Messiah. And now, similar to us today, the church today, several thousand years later, we are now waiting for the second coming of Jesus. We have this promise that Jesus will return. And so we wait. And while we are waiting, we prepare our hearts. But let's be honest, sometimes life gets busy and we forget about that. We forget that we are waiting and that we are supposed to be preparing our hearts. And so this season of Advent is an opportunity for us as the church to pause, to remember, to humble ourselves as we prepare our hearts for the Christmas season. Waiting for Christmas to come, the celebration of the Messiah that came as a baby in a manger. But I also know that many in this room are in different seasons of waiting as well. Some are in exciting times of waiting for a wedding, waiting for babies to be born, waiting for new transitions in life to come that are filled with excitement. But several of us are in harder times of waiting. Waiting for doctor results to come back. Waiting for relief from pain. Waiting for a much needed change in your life. Maybe waiting for a promise that God has given to you. In my opinion, one of the hardest places to wait is the hospital waiting room. Growing up, I hardly ever went to the doctor, let alone hospital, so I had no experience as a child growing up. But then when I married Amy, who comes from a very large family and basically lives in the hospital, I learned very quick of how much time we spend in the hospital together. I felt like once we got married, it was every other month we were in the hospital waiting room for something. Sometimes it was exciting, nieces and nephews being born. But most of the time, friends or family were in surgery. there was some crazy thing that happened. Or Amy and I were there with pregnancy complications. And in the emergency room, something crazy happens. Time moves so slow. You look at your watch and it's only been 5 minutes, but it feels like an eternity has gone by. And especially when your loved ones are suffering, like they are often in hospitals, waiting is extremely difficult. But most of our life is spent waiting. And I can't help but get this picture of all of us being in a waiting room together, this waiting room of life. And waiting is hard. But the truth is, God often works through our waiting. God will give us a glimpse of his plan, a glimpse of his promise to us. He'll give us a vision or a call or a direction to go. But then we don't get much else. We don't really know what is coming or when it is happening. And so then we have to just trust while we wait. Jessie always jokes about a compass and a map. She says that she always prays for God to give her a map that gives her a clear direction, this clear plan of what each step of the way is. But instead, God gives her a compass that simply points in a direction. And now she has to march off in that direction, full of faith, not knowing what will happen while she waits for God's promise to be fulfilled. Waiting is hard, but God gives us something to help us through the time of waiting. God gives us a key that keeps us going. And the Apostle Paul helps us understand this key through a letter he wrote to the Corinthian church. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These were early Christians. These early Christians of this time, of this church, they were eagerly waiting for Jesus Christ to be revealed. And we often overlook this today. As we read through this, we often overlook how big of a deal this would have been for the early church. Again, remember that the early church, they were primarily Jewish at this time. And these Jewish people, they spent their lives waiting for the Messiah to come, the Savior to come. And then he does. Jesus comes. Only he didn't save them in the way that they thought they would. Jesus saved them by dying on a cross, leaving them with a mission to spread the gospel around the world and a promise that he would return soon. And many in this time thought that Christ would return quickly within their generation, as Jesus had told them. And so in their minds, it would be a short time from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven till the time that he would return. And so the faithful followers of Christ, they traveled around the world starting churches and preparing hearts for people to be ready for Jesus to return. But now this letter comes 20 years later, well past the time that they thought it would take for Jesus to return. 20 years of waiting. And this was starting to create some issues. People were starting to doubt whether or not it was true. And as we read throughout the rest of the letter of Corinthians, we also learn that people misunderstood or maybe just blatantly ignored many of the things that Paul taught them, which then led to sin and division within the church. Now, I'm speculating a bit, but I wonder if the people were starting to lose hope in the return of Christ. You know those times in life where you trust somebody else to do something, but then enough time goes by without that person doing it that you just lose faith that they will do it, and so you eventually just do it on your own. This week, Amy had been asking me to take out the dirty diaper trash for several days, and I just noticed the other day she took it out. She lost faith that I was going to do it, and so she took into her own strength and her own power to take it out. Or when you're in a hospital waiting room and the doctor hasn't been by the room in several hours, you begin to lose hope and faith in the doctor. So you pull out your handy doctor's guide called Google and you start Googling what to do to fix the issue. You take it into your own hands and become doctor. I wonder if these people, this early church, they were losing faith and what God was going to do. So they began to do things in their own strength. In order to get through life, they relied on their own strength, which then led to much sin and division within them. Lack of hope leads to us doing things in our own strength, but that is dangerous. Many of us are in times of waiting, and some of us are doing really well trusting in God through this season and relying on His strength to get through. But I think some of us might get tempted to take things into our own hands, to do things in our own strength. And we want to trust in God. We want to believe that He will provide for us. We want to hold on to hope, but that gets tough sometimes. The Corinthian church started to do things in their own strength, which caused misunderstanding and sin and division. They began to lose hope, hope in God, hope in Paul, and so they turned elsewhere for support. And this is why Paul was writing to them. He wants to give them the key, and the first part of this key is hope. And if you think about it, waiting requires us to have hope. Hope is an expectation that something will happen. Hope is a powerful thing that allows us to weather all storms. It allows us to endure pain and suffering. Hollywood often uses the concept of hope as this dangerous weapon that whoever the underdog is in the story, if they get a little glimpse of hope, that's enough for them to keep fighting, to keep pushing, and then it slowly spreads to everyone else in the story, and now the movie is over and the good triumph over evil. And so Paul, he starts this letter by offering hope to them, which is found in the grace of God. He said in verse 3 through 4, he said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus." The key to this hope that Paul is offering is found in the grace of God. And this grace was given to them in and through Jesus Christ, meaning it was in His life and death that we can know and experience and receive the gift of grace, which then gives us hope. This grace of God gives us hope. While we are in waiting rooms, hope will carry us through. The grace of God will carry us through. While we're in this waiting room of life, we can remember that the true physician is taking care of us. God's grace gives us hope. And Paul tells us how God's grace carries us through the waiting. He says in verse 5, "For in Him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and all knowledge." The grace of God has enriched them, empowered them in every way. Jump to verse 7. Paul says, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I don't know if you caught that or not,
Paul addresses the fact that they are eagerly waiting. He says the first key is found in hope through the grace of Jesus Christ. But then he says the second part of the key is in the way that God has enriched them and supplied all that they need and keeps them firm to the end. Again, remember that the issue was that the early church began to take things into their own hands and do things on their own will, in their own timing, in their own strength. And so Paul says that the key is doing the opposite of that. Instead of our own strength, it is God's strength that keeps us firm, that keeps us blameless on the day of Jesus. It is God's strength that enriches us, that ensures that we do not lack any spiritual gift. Sometimes we get in our own way. That's what Dan was talking about this morning. Sometimes the love of self overshadows the love of God. And sometimes we need to step out of our own way and allow God to do what God is going to do. Instead of doing things in our own strength, it is God's strength that we must rely on. The second part of the key is realizing that we must rely on God's strength instead of our own. We hold on to the hope of God's promise through his grace that is given to us and through his strength that is supplying us. Paul says they do not lack anything they need. They do not lack any spiritual gift. But I have a little problem with Paul here because he doesn't tell us what those gifts are yet. He waits until later in the letter to bring that up. And if the key to having this hope is found in the grace of God who enriches us with these spiritual gifts, then why doesn't Paul tell us what they are right here? Why does he make us wait? I think it's because the point is not that they have gifts. The point isn't even what the gifts are. The point is the source of the gifts, where the gifts come from. The point is the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The gifts themselves are not the goal. They are not the prize. They are not the end. They are a tool or an aid in helping us get to the end, which is why he talks about God keeping us firm and blameless to the end, meaning that as we eagerly wait, we are not waiting on our own. We're not developing our own gifts or strengths because God is the source of all. God is the one that will keep us firm. God is the one supplying all that we need. And this is something that God gives us while we wait. This is talking about holiness, a holiness that God gives us while we wait. As we surrender to him and the Holy Spirit comes in and empowers us and enriches us, he keeps us firm and strong and blameless to the end. One of the reasons that hospital waiting rooms are so hard for me is because I feel useless, completely powerless to help. I can't do anything but wait and trust the doctors and trust in God. But in our metaphorical waiting room, God doesn't force us to just sit there and be useless. God gives us the tools we need. He gives us the strength we need to push through whatever it is that we are going through. We are not lacking anything that we need because God enriches us. God keeps us firm. While we are waiting, we trust in God through his grace that gives us hope and through his gifts that empower us. This is where our hope comes from. Our hope comes from the Lord. Paul says this in verse 9. He says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This promise, this fulfillment is not our own doing. It's not even our own responsibility. That's what Dan said this morning. God is faithful, which leads to the third part of this key. God has called us into fellowship with the Son. This third part to the key is fellowship. And fellowship speaks of two different things. The first is our own personal fellowship with Jesus Christ, which is in our daily walk, our daily surrender, our daily trusting in God. As we thought about last week, it is our personal time of abiding with Jesus Christ. But the second part of fellowship is our communal fellowship together. Paul used the word you here, but he was talking about the church community. The community has been called into fellowship with Jesus. God gave the community his grace and gives them all that they need as they eagerly wait together in the name of Jesus and for Jesus, sharing in fellowship together. You are not alone in your waiting room. You have community around you. You have the Holy Spirit around you and within you. Whenever Amy and I are headed to the hospital to wait alongside friends and family members, it is the community of people that makes it easy. We often carry around a deck of cards so that we can pass the time together, or we will share stories together. We get through these times of waiting, often these times of suffering and pain together, as the community strengthened by the Holy Spirit in fellowship. And if we put all of this together, we get a clear picture, a clear message that begins with us remembering that God has called each and every one of us to something. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for us to do." He has already prepared these good works for us to do. He has called us to do something. Jesus called the early church to preach the gospel and to prepare hearts for his return. And God continues to call us today to continue to build his kingdom here on earth. We each have a role to play in this, no matter how young or how old or how strong or how weak we may be. We each have a part to play. And God will give us a glimpse of his plan, a glimpse of his promise for us. But then it often means that we must faithfully wait and trust in him to provide. But that is hard. We get antsy. We get nervous. And so we are tempted to do things in our own strength and our own timetable, just like the Corinthian church was doing. And so Paul says, remember the hope you have in God through the grace that is given by Jesus Christ. The keys to waiting are first having hope, which comes through the grace given to us. Second is relying on God's strength to enrich and empower us. And the third is focusing on fellowship with Jesus Christ together as a community. The central idea here is having hope while we wait. But this doesn't mean that we just sit on our hands and wait. We don't just sit down and do nothing. Paul kept hinting along the way that there are things that we are supposed to do while we wait, these things that come in the form of spiritual gifts to enrich us, in the form of holiness that keep us firm and blameless. Last week, we thought about how the world around us can corrode our minds. And so James tells us that we must be careful with the things that are transforming us. And so James continues this idea in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming." Now pause here for a moment. Notice a similar message of waiting, of being patient until the Lord's coming. Continue. He says, "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a really good farmer or a gardener. We have tried to grow things in our backyard before, and it never works out. Most of the time, I just get too impatient. There's a lot of work involved with growing things, especially growing crops. You prepare the land, you plant the seeds, and then you go through a long season of caring for those seeds as they grow, protecting against the birds that come and all sorts of other weather conditions that come. Today, farmers will irrigate or water all of their crops to make sure that they have enough water. But back then, they would rely on rain to care for their crops, fully trusting and hoping that the rain would come. And so James is saying that like farmers, we must be patient and stand firm. We must fully trust in God's power and strength, who supplies the rain that is needed. But there's something in common with what James and Paul are saying to these people. It's that life is not just about sitting down and waiting. There is work to be done while we wait. Like a farmer, we work the grounds as we wait for God's promises. God has given us his grace through speech, through knowledge, through spiritual gifts, and through fellowship. He is enriching us in every way, and he has called us to use these things for his kingdom. We are all in a season of waiting that requires us to have hope in Jesus Christ. But this hope is not just a word or an empty promise. This hope is alive and tangible through the grace of God. And the grace of God is given to us as a gift. And this grace, this gift helps remind us that it's all about God and it is not about us. It reminds us that we must rely on God's strength, not our own, that he supplies all we need while we wait. And that while we are waiting, there is work to be done. And as we do all of these things, we find hope, which makes the waiting easier. What is it that you are waiting for? What is it that God is calling you to do? Are you trusting in him while you wait? Are you relying on his strength and his timing instead of your own? God gives us every gift we need while we wait. We keep our eyes focused on the future promise, but at the same time, we do the work that is before us, the work that God has prepared in advance for us to do, the work that God has equipped us to do. So are you doing the work that God has prepared for you? Are you working the fields like a farmer, holding on to hope and promise of future crop, but knowing that God will supply what you need? The best part is that we don't do this alone. God has given us fellowship with him through God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, and through the Holy Spirit, whom is alive and active within us and all around us. But God also gives us fellowship with each other. We don't do life alone. We don't sit in the waiting room alone. We are called to work the fields together. We are called to wait together. We are called to be united as one body, one community, which is very real to us today as we continue with this promise of combining two congregations, two families into one. We work and wait together, holding on to the hope of Jesus Christ through the grace that he is giving to us. Many of us are in times of waiting, and the keys to waiting patiently and standing firm are to hold on to the hope of Jesus Christ by receiving the gift of grace and relying on God's strength and provision and focusing on fellowship with Jesus Christ together. While you are in the waiting room, whatever you are waiting for, whatever you are going through, I want to remind you that God is with you. God is supplying all that you need. And you are not alone. You have a community around you, a much larger community now that is around you. We are here to work and wait alongside of you, together as one body of Christ. May we be a people that rely on the strength of God, that continually seek the grace of God. that do the work of God together. Let's pray. God, as we are in these seasons of waiting, I thank you for the grace and the gifts that you have given us, the ways that you are enriching and empowering us. God, this morning I ask that you would just give us a reminder that you're there. A reminder to trust in you alone, to put our faith in you alone. A reminder that we need to step out of the way and let you do your work. God, I pray that we would be held together as a strong community, as many of us are going through seasons, suffering and remembering the loss of a loved one, waiting in anticipation of something new. God, you give us the strength we need to push through. We thank you and we surrender all to you. God, we pray in your wonderful name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We would love to continue the conversation and connect with you. Comment, like, subscribe, follow us on the socials at RNAS Church or our website, rnaz.church.